How would you like to turn personal loss into clarity, courage, and strength? Dr. Golnoz Sharafzadeh is a physician, entrepreneur, and author who has built multiple ventures across medicine, wellness, consulting, and real estate. And she'll tell us all about this topic. And she co-founded Golden Oak Medicine, launched AVL Wellness, provides consulting and expert witness services, and co-owns Janosch Properties. Her work bridges business discipline with human depth, shaped by years in medicine and personal loss. And she writes and speaks about resilience, long-term thinking, and building a life of impact. So, Dr. Golnoz, tell us about how you turned your personal loss into clarity, strength, and courage.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Lily. I really appreciate it. But I will start with 2016. I had a really interesting experience, as a physician. So my husband is also a physician. But as a physician, we generally don't think of ourselves as weak, right? Or people may not imagine us so. We take care of people, but we don't experience loss or sickness or, life experiences. When you go to see your physician, I don't think you generally think of them as someone who is having difficulty in their own life because we need to take care of others. But in 2016, we lost our son. He had a congenital heart defect. And during the time that we were pregnant and we had James, and the time that he passed, I think it was also a big time of reflection for me and aware and just growth. I ended up speaking at a women's conference in 2016, and it was supposed to be a motivational talk about aging. And I sat in a room, and this was about 4 months after James had passed away, thinking, okay, what is the topic of my conversation? How can I make this uplifting? And I started to talk about how my patients and my experience being a physician had already trained me to deal with trauma and to deal with this loss that I had had. What I realized was, as a geriatrician, so a physician who takes care of elders, I had learned so much from my patients. And the book that I wrote, Life, Love, and the In-Between, I discuss the lessons that I learned from them. But the first lesson I learned was how fragile we are. And all of my life, I had planned every moment out. When I was going to go to school, how I was going to study, what I was going to become, when I was going to get married, everything was planned out until life reminded me that you cannot plan every moment of your life out. You sort of have to live as is, and you have to embrace what comes and be strong through it. And it's okay when you have moments where you fall apart because there is strength in that as well. So fragility was one of the first lessons that I learned. And then other themes came about from that. But I think, learned to move on and move through that. And I realized I really needed to spread that knowledge to other people. So the next 10 years, I have spent trying to change a culture that doesn't admire aging and see strength in aging, and try to convince the people that I spend time with to really reflect on the aging process, and also to sit with their elders so that they learn from them. And from learning those life lessons, we essentially become better people.
Thank you. How can someone turn a personal loss into a personal miracle, or let's say a miracle for others?
One example I'll give you, it was very personal to me, is that I often treated patients at the end of their life, a lot of hospice care, prescribing medications that helped a person breathe slower, like prescribing morphine, administering that. And I didn't really understand myself what that felt like. But when we had to help my son when he was struggling to breathe, and when he was struggling, he was in pain, and I had to give him this medication that caused him to fall asleep. It helped me to realize, I think, how sensitive that was. I think when we experience loss ourselves, it helps us to gain compassion and also empathy, so that if I see a person going through struggles, I can feel with them more effectively and I can be with them in their space. And if we didn't experience loss, then we may not be able to truly understand what other people are going through. So essentially, I think my son's loss helped me become a better doctor. I definitely think it helped my husband as well. And we talk about that sometimes, how we as physicians didn't see how much weakness and how much pain patients were really going through until we felt that ourselves.
Thank you. Was there any other miracle that you were able to create for others as a result of this massive personal loss?
I don't exactly know if I would call it a miracle. I guess there are miracles every day that happen. But one thing I help people realize, or one thing I talk about all the time now, is how important those in-between moments of life are. And if we just sort of slow down and not think about what is to come, but what are we experiencing now? And I think explaining that to my patients, explaining that to the people that I'm around, even my children sometimes laugh at me because they'll find me staring at them in an awkward way. And they just ask me, why are you staring at? What are you doing? And I'm just smiling in maybe a goofy way, but I tell them I'm just enjoying this moment because we're going to not have this moment. And we are living essentially a miracle right this minute. And I'm going to embrace that and I'm going to hold on to that because I don't know what the next minute will bring. So I think seeing miracles in every moment of life is also something that happens when you experience loss.
Thank you. How can someone find the courage to deal with the loss? Because, for example, I've not really suffered a major loss, but I've had situations where I was really sad, which I know is not the same thing. Yeah, so my question was, like, how can someone find courage when the courage kind of to deal with the loss? Because I think sometimes you don't really realize how strong you are until you're dealing with something really terrible. And then it's almost like many, many years later, you realize, oh, I really dealt with this. And I was so resilient and I was so strong. And I don't even know if other people could actually handle what I had to go through. And then you realize how strong you are. And I would say that's a miracle in itself, just realizing like how you can have the courage to kind of cope with a really terrible situation. So like how does someone find courage to deal with personal loss?
I think, Lily, you actually said exactly that. We never know what comes up. You know, today I lost a dear patient. I mean, I was so shocked. I walked out of the room seeing one patient and my nurse came and said, so-and-so passed away. And it was really shocking because I didn't expect it. It was very unexpected. We had prepared, but not this soon. And so I called the patient's partner and discussed, sort of just had a conversation with them and comforted them. And I'll go visit this person tomorrow in their home. But things come up, life happens. We get a diagnosis of cancer. We get in a car accident and someone we love may die, or we might have physical illness. And somehow when those things happen, I think innately, we have this human part up to us. We have this strength, this resilience that just somehow comes out. Like, we figure out how to survive these moments of our life. And maybe as human beings, survival just sort of takes place and it takes a mind of its own. And we do everything that we can to survive through that time, either emotionally or physically, and carrying other people through whatever they're going through. And I think the time that we really think about this is after, like, oh, how did I go through that? Because I never, you know, if I saw somebody dying in the past, like somebody's child was ill, or a friend of mine had cancer, someone that I knew personally, I often thought, oh my gosh, I can't imagine what they're going through. But then once you go through that, we really see the strength in us. And unfortunately, it sometimes takes that life experience for us to have the courage to shift, for us to have the courage to get through that experience, rather than thinking, if I was in this position, I don't know what I would do. So I think we don't give ourselves enough credit as human beings. We are very resilient. And I see that in my patients too. You know, if my practice is called Golden Oak Medicine, and I remind myself all the time, to be an old person, you must be a really tough person. It's not easy getting old. It's not easy navigating life, but we are rooted. We have these strong roots, just surviving humanity as it is. And that itself, like you were asking, is a miracle. That itself is powerful, and it needs to be celebrated every day.
Thank you. How does someone discover the clarity of why this personal loss had to happen?
I think that's a very personal lesson for everyone. We made some interesting decisions when my son James was living and when he was dying, different decisions than other people would make. We opted to not pursue invasive surgical procedures because we knew that none of those procedures were truly life-saving or would give him any quality of life, that they were palliative. And palliative means that he would survive for a short time, but he wouldn't really have much of a meaningful life for his particular heart defect, which is very severe, very rare. And I think choosing to let him go, rather than choosing to have him suffer, that was a tough decision that we made, because I often thought about, okay, am I making the right decision? Should we have surgery? Should we travel here and see this cardiologist and see this cardiovascular surgeon or that specialist? Even though both my husband and I had read everything that we could find on this condition, and we had researched everything, and we knew what our decision was, and it was the right decision for us, but yet I constantly kept thinking, am I making the right decision? I questioned myself all the time, every day. And after James had died, I still questioned, did I make the right decision? And I was talking to a mother whose son had also died, but this mother had made a different decision. They did all of the surgical procedures, they did everything. And we were both having this grief talk with each other, comforting each other, crying with each other. And she said something really powerful. She said, I wish I had done what you had done because I lost my child, but you were able to be a mother, and all I did was be a nurse and give this medicine and that medicine, and we still both lost our children. And I didn't really think about how strong I had been through that until after I had taken the time to reflect on my decision. And sometimes our decisions, and I'm not saying my decision was correct, and I'm not saying her decision was correct or incorrect, but we make the decisions that we make, and we live with those decisions. In the moment, we're not sure sometimes, but later, if we take the time to reflect, and I often do that, I take the time to just sit with myself and reflect, not just on my own personal experiences, but also on my patients or the decisions that I make for my patients that are literally life and death decisions. That is when I realize, okay, this is how I dealt with this loss. This is how I dealt with this tragedy. And yes, maybe I didn't make the best decision here, but did I learn from this? And can I move on from this? And sometimes the learning comes from just personal growth and strength rather than, oh, will I do this differently the next time?
Thank you. How can a person who suffered a personal loss deal with self-blame?
That's a big one. I ask my caregivers that quite a bit. I ask about guilt. I ask about blame. And there's a lot of therapy that sometimes needs to come with that to help with self-blame. I think recognizing that you may be blaming yourself is going to be a big part of that. And when you blame yourself. Did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? How could what I did have led to a different outcome? Or did my decision, and your feelings, right? Your feelings will essentially lead to an action that is going to lead to an outcome. And how can you sit with yourself, and how can you justify what your decisions are and be okay with that? I think therapy is important when we think about, I mean, therapy is very important. There have been times where I have spoken to medical professionals and like psychologists and therapists so that I could move on from loss. And I think as a culture, we need to think about that. We need to be kind to ourselves and also seek professional help when it's necessary.
Thank you. How can someone deal with sadness, depression, and perhaps self-abuse as well when someone is has suffered a personal loss?
When we suffer a personal loss, okay, when you suffer loss, you have feelings of incredible sadness, guilt, blame, all of the things that you had mentioned. And sometimes when we have those feelings, then those feelings lead to an action, right? So is that action going to be a healthy action that is going to lead to a healthy outcome? Or is that action going to be something that is going to destroy us? Is the outcome going to destroy us? And sometimes that feeling could lead to an action where, I am going to sit down and just have some alcohol, and I am going to lay in bed and not eat and not talk to anyone. Or even more severe, I am going to like harm myself, because that self-harm is something that people think about. And we are sometimes so stuck in those feelings that we can't escape it. And then we do something that we may not have opted to do if we didn't feel so down or so depressed. So I think that when we're experiencing loss or experiencing what is about to become loss, we need to have social connections that can help us kind of pull out of that. And we need to have professional help so that if we are in a very dark place and the outcome could lead to our own demise, we have the help that we need.
Thank you. How do you move from why did this happen to what do I do with this?
Time always helps. So time definitely helps there. But again, I think talking through it with a professional. Occasionally, Lily, we need medications, right? And I think not feeling guilty or bad that we may temporarily need something to help us not necessarily dull the feeling so that we're not feeling. And I tell my patients this all the time, that if I give you something for this severe depression, it doesn't mean you're not going to feel the depression. You will still feel the loss. You will still be present. But if we don't address it, again, it could lead to a dark place. It could lead to terrible things. And I think before the loss happens, sometimes loss is traumatic, immediate, and we can't do anything about it, right? Like, I mean, it could be trauma and it could be sudden. Other times, loss is anticipated. And my recommendation always is, if you're going to anticipate that you're going to lose someone or something or your own health, how do you adapt to the changes that are occurring? This is where sort of transformation comes from. How do we transform and make and adapt to the shifts and changes that are coming? And if we can start to adapt and see our life outside of this time, then I think we'll have better healing. But if trauma happens and our adaptation has to be immediate, then we really need to think about having close connections and professionals near us to help navigate that loss.
Thank you. How can someone find meaning in loss without forcing positivity or bypassing grief?
That is a pretty personal experience, but I will tell you that In my personal experience, what I learned from and the themes that I talk about in the book, what did I learn about from my loss? I learned how to have more empathy for my patients and what compassion really looks like. From my loss, I learned about transparency as a physician, because in medicine, sometimes as providers, and I'm not talking like nursing, physician, so providers is the big the big lump sum category, but as medical healthcare providers, we are not as transparent as we need to be. So I learned that transparency is so important. I need to be honest with my patients early on to give them time if I know I'm dealing with a terminal condition. I learned about relevance. How do we sit with ourselves and think about how relevant we are once our titles are torn away? Like, once I'm no longer a mother, and I'm no longer a wife, or I'm no longer a physician, where do I find relevance in my life? And I've learned that from the loss that I experienced, and I've learned that from my patients. So, not trying to shove the loss under a rug, but actually thinking about, okay, what did this teach me? And that might be something we have to think about years after the loss. It took me a few years before I decided that I was going to write this book and the life, love, and the in-between. It took me a few years to think about all of the lessons that I had learned from this personal experience. So sometimes it takes time, and allowing ourselves to have that time, allowing ourselves to get the professional help that we need is very important.
Thank you. What are two to three things someone can do in the immediate aftermath of loss to stay grounded?
I would say avoid being lonely is probably the biggest part of it. Unfortunately for my patients, they are generally elders. So if they lose a life partner, they have a limited social network. But when we're younger, we tend to have larger social networks. And one of the things I learned is now when I have someone who is experiencing loss or may experience loss, I lean in to see how I can be there. I don't just say, oh, let me know what I can do. I'm here for you. I actually lean in and offer to do something. Like, I am going to bring you dinner and I am going to be there for you. So, if I am the person who's experiencing the loss, if I have strong social connections, people that I can lean on, but I also need to feel that they can be there for me. That's really important. I would say sticking to our social connections is important.
Thank you. How can structure or routine help when everything feels unstable?
Structure and routine can really help a person rise and improve. So if I decide that I am going to stay in bed all day because I feel a certain feeling, I cannot move, versus if I plan my day as I am going to get up, even if initially it's I am going to get up and just get out of this bedroom, and every day I am going to do this. And as time moves, okay, I am going to start cooking again, or I am going to, and you actually make an effort to do those things. Eventually, our routines and our structure will help us manage the loss so much better. And, I had an interesting loss of function. So I had both of my hips replaced a little over a year ago, and for a while I could barely walk. I had a congenital hip dysplasia. But this loss of self, I'm an active person. I always thrived and was very proud of myself for being active and physically fit until I was no longer that person. And I had to adapt to new routines and a new way of life. Well, I ended up with these two new hips, and I had to relearn how to do so many things. And then I also had to learn to adapt because I could no longer really run, and I loved to run. But I figured out, okay, I can do these other activities that helped me fill that void, so that I could move on. But I created a routine, a regimen. Okay, these are my goals, and I'm going to reach my goals, and I'm going to walk again, and I'm going to move again, and I am going to be strong again. And it took about, 6 weeks after surgery for me to really feel so much better than I had felt. And now, I mean, I am so much stronger than I was even like 2 years before surgery. But having to create those routines for myself really helped reinforce my healing. And that was just a small example. You can have physical loss, but loss of a loved one, that's bigger. And creating structure and creating patterns and creating routines is a lot more difficult when you're actually dealing with the loss of a human being or the loss of an animal, something that is so meaningful to you. And again, I can't say it enough. If you cannot build structure and if you cannot build routines, getting professional help is really probably the first step.
Thank you. Do you have a simple framework people can follow when they feel emotionally overwhelmed?
I do have a framework that I use. It's called the health framework. And within that, I have something I call the reset technique. But I'll start with the health framework. The health is an acronym. So the H is how we age. And within that, there's something we call the five M's of geriatrics. And I don't think it's necessarily only relatable to a geriatric population because I use it internally. And it starts with, okay, what matters most? The other one is our mindset. So where is my mindset? And is that okay with what actually matters to me? How do I need to think about my mindset when it relates to what matters to me? Then we think about, the medical problems we have, our medications, our mobility, being active. The E is for energy, from a cellular level to a disease-specific energy state. And that may not, if it's depression, then that is where our energy comes from if we're thinking about loss. The A is for activity. This is our capacity and our reserve, and how do we maintain that to function and live in this life and have a good health span? L is for longevity, and there are pillars of lifestyle medicine. I'm board certified in lifestyle medicine. And one of those pillars that I'm going to talk about right now is very relatable to loss is the social networks. So making sure we have adequate social networks. The other one is our mental health and also our nutrition. Exercise is important, but also sleep. So making sure that we're sleeping well because that is going to help us recover as well. It's restorative. The T is for transformation, as we've been talking about that. How do we adapt to the transformation that occurs, whether that is a physical transformation or a loss? And then the last is our habits, and how do we get those habits back? Because when life happens to us, we tend to drift. And when we drift, what is your reset technique? How do you incrementally reset so that you can fall back to where you once were and that you can heal? And that is the framework that I use to treat my patients. That is the framework I use to treat myself, to take care of myself.
Thank you. Do you find that because of this personal loss, did you become a better, more aware person? I mean, you did mention earlier that now you're looking at your children and you are really savoring the moment. And I can relate a little bit with that because when I was really young, my grandma used to beat me from like 4 years old until 18. And she used to basically hit me more if I tried to cry or to speak up. And because of that, I've developed this amazing ability to be happy with very little. And even, for example, like having coffee by myself or having a tiny piece of chocolate, or even when my ex-boyfriend used to bring me some apples from the market, or, like one thing that used to make him very happy was the fact that I didn't need much to be happy. Like I was just happy.
Yeah.
And I have developed this appreciation for like really, really tiny, small things. And I'm wondering about not only whether it helped you become a better doctor, which you did mention a few times, but I'm saying like, did it help you to develop like better health habits for yourself or to have a different awareness about, I don't know, perhaps the relationship that you have with your partner or any other thing that has helped you become a better person in terms of like your health, your awareness, your love for yourself, or your overall happiness? Like, do you find like when you're sitting sometimes in the park, do you get like this amazing feeling of like, oh my God, I'm like alive. It feels so good to be here.
So I do. We were just on vacation a couple of weeks ago. We went to the Dominican Republic, and I would say, every time I looked in one direction versus another, and it was just spending time with my children and my husband, I did constantly have this like surge of love, and it wasn't, they weren't doing anything. They were just playing, or we were just talking, or we were just eating. But I think the loss of James helped me to see life differently. And I think when I experience loss with my patients and their loved ones, it helps me see life differently. It helps me value the one moment that I am living in right now, and I don't need anything else in that moment. One thing that the way I grew up, I went to undergrad, I went to grad school, I went to medical school. I had to, it was always about like what you're achieving, and growing up with this like Middle Eastern background, it is all about your achievements and what you can do and the next thing. And I opened Golden Oak Medicine, my practice, because I realized that, wow, I'm not spending enough time with my patients. The medical system is asking me to spend 15 minutes at most with my patients. I'm not taking care of them. I'm not being a good doctor. Not only that, the days are really long and I'm not seeing my children. I'm missing sports events. I'm missing them growing up. I am missing out on life. And so that loss, it really like shifted something inside of me. And I told my mother, and then she was like, "You're gonna leave? You're the program director of this like training program, and you're doing this research, and you have great this and this and this. You sure you're gonna leave all that? And you're gonna start this practice out of nothing into in a new town?" And I thought, it might work, but it might not. But what it's going to do is going to help me spend time with my family, and it's going to help me with my personal growth and my personal life. And now I get to take my kids to school in the mornings, and I don't miss a single volleyball game, and I don't miss a single gymnastics tournament. I don't miss these moments that are so short, and they will be gone if I focus so much on how much more I can achieve and what else can I do and how much more I can grow. You know what I found out is that when you slow down and you really focus on the things that you love, you actually are more successful. You are so much more successful, not just in with yourself personally, but even in terms of business. You become so much more successful because you really are putting everything into the things that fill your cup. So, from the loss of this little boy, and for me taking care of these patients that have lived this lifetime of pain and suffering and growth and love and happiness, just listening to them and sitting in their spaces has really changed the way I approach life. And I'm so thankful because I'm not going to be looking back when I'm in my 70s and 80s and thinking I missed that time. I'm living it right now.
Thank you. How do I identify what truly matters after experiencing loss? Like you mentioned a little bit in terms of leaning into what you truly love doing. Is there anything else that people can leverage to identify what truly matters?
Yeah, think about what you truly hate and can't stand. It's like if you don't like what you're doing, if you don't like where you are, if you don't like the relationship you're in, like don't stick in it. Don't stay with it. Find a way out. And I know that sometimes sounds so, it is so much easier said. It is so much easier said than done. But finding that courage to get out of that situation, to do the thing that you love, it takes courage and it's not easy. But once you are doing the thing that you love, it is so much more rewarding. You may not make as much money, but did that really matter? Or you may, even like with friendships, right? Like, why? It helped me realize, why am I spending time with people that are sucking life out of me? Like, I'm going to allow them to be who they are, but I am not going to be involved in that anymore. It was, just we are so fragile and our life is so short. This lifetime that we get to experience on this earth is not forever. And so, James helped me see that. I sometimes wonder, like, how did I not see that until I was like 37 years old? And now I'm 46. So I've been living the last 10 years trying to be this person that truly, like, it's meaningful to me. My cup is full. My life has meaning. And so think about what you want and also think about what you don't like and get, clean out the clutter.
Thank you. How can people connect with you?
Sure. Well, the main way to connect with me is on Jerry Academy. It's my blog. It's GERI Academy.com. It is a free blog on aging related topics. There are topics like around the health framework. There are some philosophical blog posts on just aging and what really matters to you. And I talk about the reset technique, but there are also some posts on just aging and supplements and different diseases of aging. And the reason I posted the blog and it's completely free. I don't advertise on the blog or allow anyone to advertise because we are desperately experiencing a national shortage of geriatricians. There are about 7,000 geriatricians in the country. Only about 13% of people have access to a geriatrician, and we need 30,000 by 2029, when the last of the baby boomers turns 65. So that information is, people don't have information and they can't advocate for themselves. I'm hoping that with this blog post, with this blog, this website, people can get information and then take it to their doctors and ask questions and advocate for themselves. You can message me through the site. I check for messages and reply to messages. And also, the link to purchase my book is on there. It can be purchased anywhere on like Amazon or Bookshop or Barnes and Noble. So it's available everywhere. But the blog is probably the best place. And everything in the book, these things are all in the blog. I just, The Life, Love, and the In-Between is a different book that I wrote mainly to talk about the lessons that I learned from my elders, my loss.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Petrescu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever. Shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.